Thanks, Mike. Two great stories. I love that story. It's one of my favourites. Do you want to become his disciples too? Paul, would you like to come on up? I love Paul's preaching. Now, Paul has had COVID, and his lovely wife has got COVID at the moment as well. So he's feeling a little bit lacking in energy and preached at the 9 o'clock service. So I'm just going to pray for a bit of energy for him now. Father, we thank you so much for Paul and his family and his dear wife. And we pray for healing of her. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring your energy levels for Paul and speak to us through him. To the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, may these words be yours and not just mine. Amen. Well, good morning. Lovely to be here. I'm always inspired to worship with you. My theme today is about outward appearances. No, it's not about what we should wear in church. It's about the contrast between God's view and the view our human nature takes. Because unlike us, God is not concerned with outward appearances. He's concerned with what's in a person's heart. There's a gap, so let's talk about that. Now, let's face it, people do judge by outward appearances. I should put my hand up and admit that right away. But I have a little excuse, actually, which I'll offer to you humbly. Appearances were an unavoidable part of my working life. They're a part of being a diplomat, not the main part, but still a part. Because a diplomat who's scruffy and drives a clapped-out car is putting themselves at a disadvantage. They need to be presentable to get respect for themselves and for the country they represent. So appearances, if you like, were in my job description. And that's the way of the world, isn't it, in so many ways. An extreme example of this might be people who wear uniforms. A soldier, for instance, is going to obey an officer because of the officer's appearance, because of their uniform. Take away the uniform, and what remains? There's a story I like, which one of my bosses once told me about his experiences during the Second World War. While this fellow was still in his teens, he was drafted into the Navy as an ordinary seaman. After a few months, the Navy decided that he was officer material. He was told to report for an interview to an officer selection panel consisting of 3 admirals. He was so nervous before the interview that one of the older men took him aside and said, "When you're facing those admirals, just imagine them without all the gold braid. And you'll just see 3 elderly jokers in front of you, and you'll feel a lot better at that point." This is something I don't really need to labour. If any proof is needed, we find it in the passage that we heard from 1 Samuel. Now, that book was written about 900 BC, and I'm sure human nature hasn't changed much since. In the passage, God tells Samuel to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king of Israel. 7 of them are present. Samuel looks them over and thinks to himself, that tall, regal-looking one over there is the best of the bunch. He must be the one God has chosen. God says, "No, you're wrong. Don't judge by their appearances. I'm not going to have you anoint someone just because they're tall and regal-looking. That doesn't matter. It's what they have in their hearts that matters." And God says, "I'll tell you which one I want you to anoint." And it turns out it's the youngest, David, who wasn't even there to begin with. Now we come to a very interesting point. 1 Samuel doesn't tell us, in so many words, what God saw in David's heart that made him choose David to be king. What was it God saw in David's heart? I think we can work that out. bearing in mind the whole context of the Bible and all the clues we find in other parts of it. The thing that God saw in David's heart was humility. For a start, he was the youngest of the 8 sons, and that would have put him at the bottom of the family totem pole, given him a strong sense of his junior place in the scheme of things. Added to that, his job as a shepherd would have reinforced it. Only the most junior and insignificant person around looked after the sheep. And I think God would have seen, as Samuel didn't, that this humble status made him more open to God than the others. Time and again, we see in the Bible that it is not the self-important, it is not the beautiful people, it is not the egoists who are close to God. The psalmist wrote, "A humble and a contrite heart you will not despise." And Micah wrote, what does the Lord require? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And in our gospel passage this morning, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees with something very similar, a very similar point. He tells them, if you were only blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And what he was doing there was condemning their arrogance and their belief that they knew it all. So the importance of a humble heart is a big theme in the Bible. God really wants us to know and think about it. And I think the reason is pretty obvious, really. If we're full of ourselves, it's less likely that we'll feel a need for God's mercy, let alone his leadership. Now, of course, it is possible, I don't want to sort of over-egg the pudding, if you like, it's possible to be successful in life and not lack humility. It's possible to be at the top of the totem pole in the eyes of the world and still be aware of a gap in your life that only God can fill. But at the same time, when we look at the examples before us, and I don't need to say more than just Donald Trump, perhaps, we know that a person who's both successful and humble can be the exception rather than the rule. So, what about this business of having a good appearance? Is it always a snare and a delusion, as it seems to have been for Samuel? What does the Bible tell us here? Now, in the New Testament, we don't read much about what people looked like. I can't think of many examples. There was just one pops into mind, John the Baptist. He's described by Mark as wearing camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. Now, this was a bit like a prophet's uniform, if you'll pardon the phrase, as Elijah had worn the same things. John's clothing would have been very significant to the people who saw him. So I'd suggest that John the Baptist's appearance was appropriate to his role. He needed to look the part as well as play it. So that's one sense, perhaps, in which having the right appearance is a godly thing and not simply a snare and a delusion. And the theme really comes down to this. This unimportance of our appearance is a great blessing to us. It means that God's kingdom is totally inclusive. Nobody is or was or will be excluded from the kingdom because of their appearance. And Jesus, as we know, specifically waged a campaign against those in his day who would exclude people for being, well, Gentiles or sinners or any of the many non-orthodox things of the day. The sting in the tail, though, is that it does matter what's in our hearts. And I'd like to finish by coming back to what I said about God's choice of David. God saw into David's heart, and he saw that it was humble. There was room for God in it. David's humility meant that God could shape David and use him for his great purpose. And maybe that's something for us to give a moment's thought to. Are our hearts humble in that sense? Is there room in them for God? So I pray, Lord, please give us the hearts that you want us to have. Amen.